From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, and filling in for Peter Sagal, Peter Gross.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Hi. Thank you so much, Carl Castle. That's right, everyone. You heard right. Wow. Please stop clapping. You're going to embarrass me.
You heard Carl right, everyone. I am Peter Gross, your guest host today. Peter Sagal is on vacation this week, most likely poolside in Cancun, challenging his waiter to a game of lightning fill up my drink. But don't worry, everyone. I am qualified to take care of you. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a Second City alum, a former writer for the Colbert Report, and I've been a panelist on this show. And in college, I majored in asking people ridiculous questions about the news. This, of course, disappointed my mother, who wanted me to ask people about being a doctor. Well, we invite you to call us up and answer some questions about this week's news. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. And now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi there, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Tia, and I'm from Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, hi, Tia. What do you do up there in Vancouver?
I work for Columbia Sportswear.
Oh, nice. So you're a rugged, outdoorsy type person.
Oh, of course. We all are up here.
What's that like? What's it like to be in shape? All right, well, Tia, let me introduce you to our panel today. First up, he's a writer for Boston Globe magazine and the author of the book Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Ken.
Next, she's a comedian performing at the Alley Theater in Houston, Texas on August 21st, Paula Poundstone.
Hi, Tia.
Finally, he is the humorist and author, most recently of Alphabet Juice, Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hey, Tia, how you doing?
All right, Tia, welcome very much to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home answering machine. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Here's your first quote.
To the passenger who called me a bleep, bleep you. I've been in the business 28 years, and I've had it. That's it. Whee!
Expertly done. That was Carl portraying a man who quit his job this week in very dramatic fashion. What did he used to do for a living?
He was a JetBlue flight attendant.
That's exactly right! Very good. By now, everybody knows the legend of JetBlue flight attendant Steve Slater. Following an altercation with an unruly passenger, Mr. Slater cursed out the passenger, snagged two beers, and vanished down the inflatable exit slide. He is now officially a full-fledged American hero. I mean, how many of us have dreamed of telling our bosses to shove it with this kind of flair, only to realize, A, that we need our incomes, and B, our workplace does not have a slide.
I'll tell you, Carl's impression was so strong that it leads me to believe that kind of feeling is welling up within Carl. Whoa.
I mean, this guy is legitimately, he's catapulted to number one on everyone's favorite person list.
I don't know. I find it odd that somebody would allow the tensions of the workplace to drive them to quite that level.
Yeah. When was the last time you were in a workplace? my experience.
Yeah, I pushed that button a long time ago.
Yeah.
Tia, are you ready? Here is your next quote.
So much for don't be evil.
That was an editorial in the Boston Phoenix noting what internet company's new unholy alliance with Verizon?
Google.
That is absolutely right. Good job. This week, Verizon and Google released a set of proposed guidelines that could threaten net neutrality, meaning there could someday be two internets, a free regular internet and a paid premium internet. For example, on regular YouTube, you can see guys getting kicked in the crotch, but on premium YouTube, you can see guys getting kicked in the crotch by a butler. On the premium internet, everyone in eHarmony would be a gorgeous model, but on the regular internet, you'd be choosing between people who look like Picasso portraits. And of course, while the regular internet would have Twitter, the premium internet would not. Now, if service providers wanted to lure people to stay on the regular internet, they could just rebrand it as something like Internet Classic or something like that. With little offshoots like Diet Internet, you know, Internet with Lime, Vitamin Internet, Black Cherry Internet.
Black Cherry Google sounds sort of porny, really.
You don't know what you're going to get. Yeah. Don't. If you Google Black Cherry Internet, you will not be pleased with the results. Or maybe you will. I'm not sure. All right, Tia, here is your last quote.
He's a lefty shooter. We left him open by accident, and he knocked it down on us. Game time.
That was NBA star Chauncey Billups talking about a player in an unusual pickup game that was played this week. Who was that player?
I have no idea.
I'll give you a hint. He's a lefty, and he's the basketball player in chief
of the United States. President Barack Obama.
That's right. Very good. It was a great, great week for President Obama. On Sunday, he plays this pickup game with his dream team of NBA All-Stars like LeBron James, Chris Paul, and Magic Johnson. And then on Monday, the Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints come over to the White House to hang out. And, you know, we're guessing on Wednesday he got that race car bet he always wanted. And it's funny because I thought the president turned 49 this week, but it turns out that Barack Obama is a 12-year-old boy. It's almost like he wrote a letter. Dear Make-A-Wish Foundation, my name is Barry. I live in Washington, D.C. My poll numbers are dipping into the 30s, and my party's about to get hammered in the midterm elections, and I may only have 2 years left. Can you please send over LeBron James and Drew Brees to make me feel better? Yeah, it's like he's really taking this vacation thing pretty loosely.
What do you mean loosely?
Well, I mean, there are people who would say that, you know, the economy's not doing well. His wife is off in Spain. Do you think he should sort of be trying to focus a little more? Or do you think it's like, let him blow off some steam? Yeah.
I think that physical activity stimulates the brain. Mm-hmm. I don't even understand people criticizing her for going to Spain. Where was she supposed to go?
America.
You know what? She's been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. We've all been there. We should all go to Spain.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. What kind of a vacation would that be when you're First Lady of the United States to go to the United States?
Mm-hmm. She could go around and see the Washington Monument. And all
that
the
could
Capitol,
be nice, yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Maybe she could take the White House tour.
Yeah, she could get on a tour for the White House. That would be so great.
This is where the First Lady sleeps.
Oh, man.
Carl, how did Tia do?
Tia had three correct answers. Peter, she's a winner. So, yay. Tia, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine or voicemail.
Congratulations, Tia. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. All right, Charlie.
Ah.
This week, President Obama signed a spending and revenue bill called H.R. 1586. Of course, it's also known by the official title. And what is that?
Please get off my back, Bill.
That's close.
Well,
it's kind of like Congress in naming this bill was playing the final game on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
What? It's the lightning fill in the blank bill? Or the lightning fill in the, it's the fill in the blank bill. It's literally the fill in the blank.
That is very much, that's pretty damn close. That is exactly right. The Blank Act of Blank is the name of the bill itself.
The blank act of
maybe
blank.
It was just obscene. Maybe it was the maybe it was the Steven Slater bill. Bleep off, you congressional bleeps.
Well, it's interesting. So here's what happened. So the bill actually deals with Medicaid and taxes and creates an education jobs fund. And it's very specific stuff. But Congress rushed it through so quickly that apparently no one had time to fill in the title field at the top of the Microsoft Word bill template. No. When the little thing came up and said, I see you're writing a bill, they just skipped it. Now, the Senate signed it when it was called the blank act of blank at the top. And unless they wanted to start all over again, the House had to sign it in the exact same form, not changing a thing. And now that Obama has signed the bill, it is called the blank act of blank, and the blanks will get filled in via the little-known constitutional Mad Libs provision, which requires any missing legislative nouns to be supplied by a committee of nine-year-olds. So we should all get ready for H.R. 1586, the Booger's Act of Doo-Doo.
Exactly, yeah.
Everyone. Well, Peter Sagal, as we've said before, is on vacation this week. We think he's on a taxpayer-funded vacation in Spain with his daughter, Malia. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi there, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
What's your name, young
Zapping.
Lady?
Hi, my name's Caitlin Fallahy, and I'm calling from San Clemente, California.
Nice. What do you do out there in San Clemente?
Not much. I just moved back with my parents, so I'm just, like, surfing and having a good summer.
Listen, do not feel bad about that. That sounds like a good old time you're having out there. It's nice to have you with us, Caitlin. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is your topic?
What happens in Vegas can't even happen in Vegas anymore.
Caitlin, Las Vegas is a reliable destination for anyone seeking decadence and discretion, but this week we learned things may be changing out in Sin City. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about the shifting sands in Las Vegas. If you choose the true story, you will win Carl's voice on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. First up, it's Roy Blunt, Jr.
It may be the quintessence of glitz, but Las Vegas is part of the global economy. So far this year, the city's casinos have handled 18% less lucre than last year. When dreams of avarice collide with fiscal realities, what is a little oasis in the desert to do? Change its name, says local talk show host Chad Pepler. Too many people think of Las Vegas as Lost Wages Nevada, said Pepler. That concept today is off-putting to the hybrid family fund slash high roller market our town has uniquely created. Vegas invokes victory, viva, Elvis, and Anne Margaret. Las suggests loss, loser, and lousy. So, let's lose the loss. Let's officially be just plain Vegas. The first caller who called in said, I've got a better idea. Why don't we all give up meat and become Las Vegans?
All right, from Roy Blunt Jr., a story of Las Vegas, taking off the loss and shortening the name to just Vegas. Your next story of changes afoot in Vegas comes from Paula Poundstone.
If you think Las Vegas, you think gambling. You think James Bond. You think dancing girls with thick makeup, huge cleavage, and feather boas. You think bright lights and smoky back rooms. You think drugs, corruption, cheating, and big, big breasts. You think Lady Luck and Bugsy Malone. You think of that movie Casino with that god-awful scene of Joe Pesci being beaten to death with a baseball bat. Yet the Las Vegas City Council is now about to consider an ordinance banning hula hoops on the Fremont Street Plaza. Councilman Stavros Anthony, part of a two-councilman committee that reviewed the bill this week and voted to recommend its consideration by the full board, defends his position, saying, these aren't little hula hoops, they're big hula hoops. Have you seen Casino?
From Paula Poundstone, a story about hula hoops leading to the downfall of Las Vegas. All right, Caitlin, your last story of something new in Sin City comes from Charlie Pierce.
In an attempt to increase their business nationally and internationally, the main casinos along the Las Vegas Strips have joined in a year-long promotion called Bet on Vegas in Vegas. aimed at young men who come to the city for bachelor weekends. The wives and sweethearts back home can bet on a series of over-under bets on what their significant others will do in the course of a weekend. These include drinks taken, miles walked, take the under on that one, and money lost or won in each individual game. Proposition bets will also be available, such as who will vomit first. Participants must agree to monitoring by casino staff. Bets will be placed through special BlackBerries sent to the homes of the participants' fiancés. We even had some offers from the brothels from out of town. Propositions, as it were, said Ron Berillion, director of gaming services at the MGM Grand. We turned them down because we thought the people, right or wrong or one way or the other, would just lie.
All right, Caitlin, let's review. You've got gambling on people's naughty behavior from Charlie Pierce. You've got the hula hoop scourge story from Paula Poundstone and from Roy Blunt Jr., Las Vegas, shortening their name and hopefully improving their luck. Which one do you think is real?
Wow. They all sound kind of ridiculous. But I think I'm going to go with Paula.
Okay, so Paula's story about the banning of hula hoops. That's your answer.
I'll try it.
All right. There's a smattering of applause here, but let's find out the correct answer. Now, we spoke to a member of the Las Vegas City Council who clued us in.
These aren't exactly regular hula hoops. These are absolutely huge hula hoops. That's why we're going to ban them.
Huge hula hoops. That was Stavros Anthony, city councilman in Las Vegas. Congratulations, Caitlin. You got it right.
Yeah, thank you.
Good work. You earned a point for Paula Poundstone, and you've won our prize. Carl Castle will be reading the greeting on your answering machine.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for playing.
Have a good one.
Well done. Goodbye.
Bye.
There's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing all those homes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas, turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun.
And now the game where we invite on accomplished people and ask them to do something that barely registers as an accomplishment. You probably know our guest from HBO's Flight of the Conchords, where she played Mel, the stalker with a heart of gold. She's also a voice in the new Fox animated series Bob's Burgers, which premieres in the spring. And she's got a new book, The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex, that has just come out. Please welcome comedienne Kristen Schaal. Kristen, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Good. Now, so tell us about the book, The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex.
Well, it's a guide and also has some erotic short stories.
I noticed that.
And it's funny.
And it's funny. So it's not a serious guide to sex.
No. If you take it seriously, then you're going to have an interesting outcome.
Speaking of taking it seriously, there's a great photo of you and the other author, Rich Blomquist. The two of you, your author photo on page 5 or 6 or whatever it is in the book. Can you describe that photo to us?
Yes, we are in our fuzzy robes. And my robe is slightly open.
That's right. And Rich's robe is slightly open, and you can see some of his chest hair.
Yes.
What can we see in your slightly open robe?
I think, unfortunately, in this portrait, some of my chest hair is showing.
Gotcha.
As well.
It is a frightening picture to look at. Kristen, we have you just over the telephone line, and this is radio, and so we're going to just ask you right off the bat. You have a very distinctive, interesting voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, you're welcome. And obviously, you've done some voiceover work, and you're going to be doing some more. Do you find that your voice is something you're very proud of?
I guess so. I mean, I don't have much to do with it. It just comes out like this.
Great, so this isn't like some really long character bit that you're doing where you're like, I know, I'll talk like this for 80 years.
Well, you know, maybe it is, Peter. Maybe on my deathbed I'll be like, you fools! You know, I'm not sure.
In your true
voice.
I'm
not going to let you know.
Have you always had this voice, or like before you hit puberty, did you have a very deep resonant voice?
Yeah.
And then it switched over?
I'm not sure. I've always had the voice that I hear in my own head, which is deep and sultry at all times. So I often live in a state of constant shock that what I'm saying that I hear in my head is being met with a completely different reaction. I try not to talk to people over the phone very often because they might think they're talking to someone younger and less authoritative than I actually am.
Yeah, so we should
do
just
you get a lot of can you go get your mother?
Yeah, I've gotten that.
That happens a lot then.
You know, I'm talking to my parole officer or whatnot.
Right. Please get your mother. You've had some success in stand-up. You've had success in voiceover, on camera, now with this book. You have a very varied career. What kind of things do you want to do next, would you say?
Oh, I guess I'd like to be an action hero in a movie. What's so funny?
Charlie just has a different sense of humor.
I would pay so much money for that ticket.
Thank you. I hope Hollywood's listening.
So you get a lot of interesting roles that seem like they're sort of really good for you. They fit your style and your sense of humor. Do you ever get offered anything that really wasn't right for you at all? Like the lead in Eat, Pray, Love or something?
No. I remember I went in for an audition a few months ago for Curb Your Enthusiasm to play Larry David's lover.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, I walked in there. He took one look at me. He said, "No, this you would never be my lover."
Now, is that an insult, though?
No, he was referring to the age difference. Yeah. I hope.
I see.
I think you dodged a bullet there.
That would curb your enthusiasm right there.
Kristen Shaw, we have invited you here to play a game that we are calling.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
Well, many of you probably know that this week marks the 15th anniversary of the death of Jerry Garcia, the guitarist and Sherpa of the Grateful Dead. In honor of Jerry, we're going to ask you three questions about the Grateful Dead, and if you get two out of three right, you're going to win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Kristen Shaw playing for today?
Kristen, you're playing for Cindy Harris of Orange, Massachusetts.
All right.
Hey, I know where Orange, Massachusetts is.
Yeah?
It's the skydiving capital of Massachusetts. It's where everybody goes to skydive.
Hmm.
So basically, it gets landed on. It's a very impressive place to land on.
It must look beautiful from above.
It does. From
all
the ground,
right.
Yeah,
not so much.
Okay.
All right, Kristen, are you ready to play our game?
Yes.
All right, great. Your first question. The Grateful Dead, of course, were known as much for their lifestyle as for their music. And on one occasion, their drummer, Mickey Hart, feared he was too stoned to play. But the band had a solution. What was it? Was it A, they had a roadie stick him to his drum stool with gaffer's tape? B, they convinced him, quote, "The president of the goat people will be very disappointed if you don't play." Or C, they held an intervention with him in which they explained how his inability to take lots and lots of drugs was hurting the people around him.
Wow. I guess I would go with A, because I feel like a roadie would take control in that way, and gaffer's tape solves everything.
It sure does. It's like the duct tape of the band world.
Yes.
All right, so you're going with A, they had a roadie stick him to his drum stool with gaffer's tape. That's exactly right.
Yay!
Very good. One down. The roadie taped him to his drum stool.
We were allowed to use answer B only because we got the permission of the president of the goat people.
Who is that?
Oh, he's here. We can all see him. All right, the next question.
Okay.
Grateful Dead merchandising is everywhere, of course, from Jerry Garcia ties to Dancing Bear roach clips. But one idea that someone proposed failed to catch on. What was that idea? Was it A, Touch of Grey men's hair coloring? B, Terrapin Station, a theme park that's like a Disneyland for deadheads? Or C, the Keep on Truckin' Till Mecca Grateful Dead Quran? Which of those was proposed and never got off the ground?
Oh, man, this is tough. Their fans spread the globe. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say C.
C, the Keep on Truckin' Till Mecca Grateful Dead Quran.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for you, and thankfully for everyone else, that is not correct. The correct answer is B, Terrapin Station, the Disneyland for deadheads.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I mean, given the nature of deadheads, you don't have to spend a lot on rides.
Yeah,
a couple
show
of
up.
Chairs, and there's, yeah. They'll make their own fun.
Yeah.
Although the concession stands, let me tell you.
Pretty nice. Lots of foodie.
And the little measuring thing, you've got to be this high to ride this ride.
Yeah. All right, Kristen. This one is for the game. Finally. The influence of the Grateful Dead goes far beyond the hippies that went to their shows, as is evidenced by which of these examples? A, Barry Barnes's Business Strategies of the Grateful Dead has been a big hit with CEOs on the lecture circuit. B, Grateful Dead Magazine, the number one selling quarterly for the growing green burial market. Or C, the rapper Grateful Fred, spelled with an 8, who famously asked an interviewer, "Who the bleep is Jerry Garcia?" Which of those examples shows the Grateful Dead's reach going far beyond their fan base?
Oh, goodness. I guess I'm going to roll the die and say B.
B?
Okay. Ah, that's a dumb idea.
Hey, listen.
I'm the Grateful Fred is a real dude.
You think Grateful Fred is a real dude?
Okay, C then, C.
Just to remind you, there was one other choice.
Well, I think the business strategy, I mean, Grateful Dead made a ton of money for a lot of people.
They did. That would be a hit on the lecture circuit, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so your answer is A then.
A, okay.
Okay.
A.
All right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Yay.
Well done. Kristen Schaal. All on her own, pulled that out in the last second. That was
you're
incredible.
My kind of host, Chris.
All right, Carl, how did Kristen do here?
Oh, Kristen had 2 correct answers, Peter. And that is good enough to win for Cindy Harris. Congratulations, Kristen.
Well done. Cindy.
Great. Kristen, great job.
Thank you.
You did such a good job. We have one more question for you.
Okay.
When you talk to children, do you have like a talking to kids voice? Because like when many other people talk to kids, they sort of put on a childlike voice. And you have this kind of high-pitched childlike voice. Do you alter your voice at all? You're just like, this is me.
Oh, I don't talk to children.
Well done. Kristen Schaal's new book is The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex. It's out now. Kristen Schaal, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank
you. Bye, Kristen.
Sometimes the light's all shining on me. Other times I can barely see. Lately it occurs to me.
Thank you, everyone. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Peter Gross. I'm in for Peter Sagal, fulfilling Wait Wait's strict Peter quota. In just a minute, Carl sits down to a meal of rhyme rib in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you about this week's news. All right, Roy. This question is for you. The French police force is looking for new recruits, and for the first time, they're accepting applications from people who are what?
Who are criminals.
They're people who before they deemed that they did not measure up to being cops.
They're short.
Exactly right.
Oh.
That is right.
Whoa.
France has ended a centuries-old restriction that barred people under 5'3" tall from joining the police force.
Huh.
And what prompted the change, we don't know. Maybe President Sarkozy wanted to do a good deed for his diminutive brethren. Mm-hmm. Or it's possible that there was a rash of very short criminals that were escaping taller police officers by hiding in small spaces.
Quick, follow that jewel thief down the sewer. But Captain, we are far too tall. We will get stuck in there. Azutalor, that a tiny criminal has gotten away.
Something like that.
And what about Napoleon? I thought he was supposed to be short. Wasn't he French?
He was. He was both short and French.
Yeah.
He's the most famous short French person there is.
Yeah. Well,
but he was not in the police.
That's perhaps what made him so angry.
Right. Yeah.
If he had only let him into the police, he wouldn't have had to...
conquer Europe.
Yeah. He would have had a reason to live.
He would have arrested Europe. Up it against the wall, Europe!
All right, take it easy, Napoleon. Roy, this week the family of Irish World War I vet Michael Keogh discovered his missing memoirs. And in a monumental case of good news, bad news, they learned that Keogh heroically saved a man from being killed by angry rioters back in World War I. That's the good news. The bad news is that the man he saved turned out to be who?
Well, you know, this is... you never know whom you're saving. You know, it could have been somebody who was not going to be worth saving, but you don't know. You see a guy getting kicked to death.
Sure.
He has a funny little mustache.
Sure, sure.
You wouldn't, just because he has a funny little mustache that looks kind of irritatingly funny little mustache, and his hair kind of comes down almost over one eye, you still wouldn't let people kick him to death.
Sure, but sure. It's your obligation to save him.
If you knew he was going to turn out to be Hitler, you might just say, kick away.
Well, that is absolutely right. The man that he saved was Adolf Hitler.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And now you know the rest of the story.
It was 1919, and as Roy said, Hitler was getting beat up at a political rally.
Not in Dublin, I hope.
No, this soldier had wound up crossing sides and was in Germany and was working for some sort of German police force and saw Hitler getting beaten up. And, you know, he didn't say, I'm Hitler, I'm going to go on to really mess everything up.
Bigger things.
Yeah. His family is going to publish the memoirs that they found, because they were long-lost memoirs, with the working title, You Try to Do Something Nice. Paula...
Yeah.
This week, we read about a classic work of world literature that is making its debut in audiobook form. Mm. What book will you finally be able to listen to?
A classic book of world literature?
It's very, very old. I'll give you a hint. The narrator uses 64 different voices for each of the 64 positions.
Mm. The Joy of Sex?
Close. It's more visual.
You have to translate that into Hindi.
Hindu Joy of Sex?
Think two-dimensional Hindu figures going at it.
Mm-hmm. Why would I know about that book?
Either of you could say
Audio's Kama Sutra.
The Kama Sutra, exactly right.
I've never heard of that.
What? Oh, my gosh. You need to start reading your ancient erotic literature.
I don't read ancient erotic literature.
Well, you don't have to now. You can just listen to it.
That's right. If you're tired of your fellow commuters giving you the stink eye every time you whip out your copy of the Kama Sutra on the train... Well, now you can perfect your snake trap technique or brush up on the elephant posture all in the privacy of your earbuds. But listen, you don't need to spend your money on the fancy Kama Sutra audiobook, because you can get the same advice from any number of audiobooks that are already available. Let's listen. This is Rudy Giuliani.
Avoid making eye contact.
That's some decent advice. There's some more coming from Larry King.
Anything goes.
And he has proven that over and over again. Oh, and of course, there's even Sarah Palin.
It reminded me of how impatient I am. When are they going to ramp up drilling?
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank. But first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on the air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website at waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago or our upcoming show in Oklahoma City on September 23rd. Hi there. You are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi. This is Jason Kohler from Fort Worth, Texas.
Great. How are things in Fort Worth, Texas?
Hot.
Hot? Yes. How hot exactly? Are you in a puddle on the floor?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, and it makes you guys feel any better about the book you guys were talking about. When I heard you talking about 64 position in an ancient book, I was thinking it was a strategy guide for chess. Mm.
Paula, you found your soulmate.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Jason, welcome to our show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each one. And if you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the three limericks, you will be a winner. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here is your first limerick.
Of hatred and also devotion, my robot has got a wee notion. Since he's learned to feel, he seems much more real. He's picked up some basic...
locomotion?
Well, this is a tough one. Carl, let's hear that limerick again.
Of hatred and also devotion, my robot has got a wee notion. Since he's learned to feel, he seems much more real. He's picked up some basic...
emotions?
That's right! Yeah. Very good! We got you there. Nice work. I mean, that is the wonderful thing about robots is that they can do all of the things that people can do without being people. But scientists in Britain have just unveiled a new robot they say has feelings. Anger, fear, sadness, happiness, even pride. Which means that the robot is more capable of feeling emotions than the scientists who developed it.
The robot on Lost in Space had emotion.
Well, this robot gets upset if a human being fails to comfort it after it's exposed to a stressful situation, which seems kind of needy, actually. Mm-hmm. And scientists are already working on the next generation of robot, codenamed Passive Aggressive Bot 3000. It's for people who want a companion who's both high maintenance and high maintenance. All right. Jason, here is your next limerick.
I did okay on my spelling bee, and attendance was not bad, you see. To my pleas, they are deaf. They just gave me an F, because they no longer give out a...
D?
That's right. D, very good. Very good. In an apparent effort to ensure that 90% of its student body fails this year, New Jersey's Mount Olive High School has eliminated D's from its grading system completely. And under the new rules, anything lower than a 70 is an F. And that's a move that worries a lot of high school burnouts who for years have carved out a niche for themselves in that real estate between average and failing. In fact, it should also worry White Castle, John Mayer, and the movie It's Complicated. Jason, here's your next limerick.
All right.
Do looks matter? I don't think they ought. But these men cannot take what I've got. I guess all these jobs are given to slobs. I'm not hired because I am too...
We've got ought, got...
Hot?
Hot, that's right. Very good.
Man, I really need to get out from behind my computer more often.
That is all right, Jason. We really should pity them, folks. Smoking hot women just cannot catch a break in this world. This week, scientists at the University of Denver said that hot chicks get overlooked for blue-collar jobs like construction supervisors, prison guards, and hardware salespeople. I mean, who knew that the porn industry would be so far ahead of the rest of America on women's rights? And they're constantly hiring hot women as prison guards. And hardware salespeople.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you'll notice I haven't been able to get one of those jobs.
Carl, how did Jason do?
Well, Jason had three correct answers, so that means he is a winner.
Yes, nice work. Congratulations, Jason. Thank you for playing with us.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right, now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Carl, let's take a look at the scores.
Well, Paula Poundstone and Charlie Pierce each has 3 points, so they've tied for first. Roy Blunt Jr. is third with 2 points.
Roy Blunt Jr., you are in third place, and you are up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Are you ready? Fill in the blank. A federal judge in California ruled that same-sex couples can begin blanking next week.
Marrying.
That's right. Robert Gates announced a plan to cut $100 billion from the blank budget over the next 5 years.
Pentagon.
That's right. In spite of ethics charges against him, blank threw himself a fundraising party for his 80th birthday.
Charlie Rangel.
That's right. After he was investigated on sexual harassment charges, Mark Hur, the CEO of Blank, resigned.
Oh, gosh. I can never remember corporations. Harman Kardon, or something like that.
The H was right, but the rest was not. It's HP.
HP.
Police in Italy had some trouble confiscating a drug trafficker's cocaine stash because it was blank.
It was scattered to the winds.
No, it was underneath an angry python.
Oh.
Best known for her Oscar-winning performance in Hud, actress Blank died at age 84.
Patricia Neal.
That's right. Nuclear experts in Russia downplayed the health risks from wildfires that had spread to areas contaminated during the Blank disaster.
Chernobyl.
That's right. Among those opposed to the proposed World Trade Center mosque is the financial backer for Manhattan's brand new Museum of Blank.
Of Islam.
No, it's the Museum of Tolerance.
Oh, tolerance. Yeah.
The Museum of Tolerance does not want the World Trade Center mosque built. The stated mission, of course, of the Museum of Tolerance, quote, to confront all forms of prejudice and discrimination in our world today. But the Wiesenthal Center, which runs the Museum of Tolerance, says the idea of an Islamic cultural center near Ground Zero is, well, intolerable. But in other news, an exhibit about the Museum of Tolerance just opened up at the Museum of Irony. Carl, how did Roy Blunt Jr. do?
Roy had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Roy has the lead.
All right. Great. Now, we have flipped a coin, and Paula has elected to go next. So, Paula, you're up.
All right.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
The Senate paid tribute to former Alaska Senator Blank, who was killed in a plane crash Monday.
Stevens?
That's right. India rejected claims by British scientists that it was the source of a new blank resistant to almost all antibiotics.
A new flu?
We'll give it to you. Superbug, bacteria, that kind of thing. Attendees of the annual Worm Charming Festival in Lincolnshire, England, left disappointed after the contestants blanked.
After the contestants failed to charm the worms.
That's exactly right. Comics readers said, ack, to the news that the comic strip Blank was ending after 34 years.
Oh, Kathy.
That's right.
Thank goodness.
6 weeks. 6 weeks after being admitted to the hospital to have a pump implanted in his heart, Blank returned home.
Somebody had a pump put in their heart?
He's had it done a lot.
Cheney?
That's right. This week, a British company unveiled a Volkswagen Bug powered by Blank.
Actual bugs.
Nope. Poop. The correct answer is poop. The so-called dung beetle is a marvel of green technology from the sewage treatment company Wessex Water.
I'm not pumping my own, I'm telling you this right now.
It's got the classic VW look, German engineering, and it runs on, well, shall we say, fuel from pump number 2. All right, Carl, how did Paula do?
Paula had 6 correct answers, 12 more points. She now has 15 points, and Paula has the lead.
15 points and the lead. Congratulations, Paula. All right, Charlie Pierce, this is for the game. How many does Charlie need to get here?
He needs 6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
All right. All right, Charlie, ready? Here we go. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, Congress passed legislation strengthening security at the U.S. blank.
The border.
That's right. Officials performed final tests this week to make sure that the blank in the Gulf was sealed.
The exploding oil well.
That's right. After announcing a $1.3 billion second quarter profit, Blank announced that CEO Edward Whitaker Jr. would be stepping down.
BP.
No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. It's GM. After they said they could agree on only 2 of 24 counts, the judge told the jury in Blank's trial to continue deliberating.
Blago, baby.
That's right. The former Illinois representative whose legacy was tarnished by a corruption conviction, Blank, died at age 82.
Dan Rosenkowski.
That's right. For his induction into the Basketball Hall of Fame, Scottie Pippen picked former teammate Blank to present him.
Michael Jordan.
That's right. A mother in Italy reported a woman to the police because her nude sunbathing was blanking.
Distracting him from his study of the
Kama Sutra.
No, she said the woman was troubling her teenage sons.
Mom!
The woman told police that the sunbather had been applying sunscreen to her chest and her sons, aged 12 and 14, quote, had been troubled by what she was doing. Carl, how did Charlie Pierce do? Did he do well enough to win?
He needed a 6 to tie, but Charlie had 5 correct answers. So with 15 points, Paula Poundstone is his champion.
Congratulations, Paula Poundstone.
It's kind of historic.
Is it historic?
Well, it's not common.
It's not common. Well, in a minute, we will ask our panelists to predict how flight attendant Steve Slater will quit his next job. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide, and proud supporter of NPR music at PabstBlueRibbon.com. The Annie E. Casey Foundation, whose Kids Count is a state-by-state look at child well-being and the important role of data at AECF.org. And Ann and John Herman, supporting the Breakthrough Collaborative, involving middle school students in learning and older students in teaching at BreakthroughCollaborative.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, the executive producer. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Shillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. And the senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, how will Steve Slater quit his next job? Charlie Pierce.
He took a job as a White House spokesman in charge of insulting every single one of the president's political allies. And no, wait, you got a raise for that.
Roy Blunt, Jr.
He became a mortician and became so upset and irritated with the family of the deceased and even the deceased himself that he leaps into the box and accidentally hits a button and is cremated.
And Paula Poundstone.
He climbs out of the cannon, takes off his aerodynamic outfit, grabs a snow cone, and walks away.
Well, if Steve Slater does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you very much, Carl Castle. Thanks to Paula Poundstone, Charlie Pierce, and Roy Blunt, Jr. And thanks to you all for listening. This has been a pleasure filling in for Peter Sagal. I am Peter Gross.
And I've had it. I've been doing this 28 years. I'm out of here. Whee!
Well, most of us will see you next week. Thank you so much for coming, everybody. And thank you for listening. This is NPR.